Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh,
what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this your word, Father, so that we can learn and stand and walk in obedience unto this word of yours, Father, and learn thereby how to walk through this life according to your will and your way. Now, Father, be with us through the study tonight. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be tonight, 2 Samuel, chapter 12. Now, to give you a little update, we have finished with the New Testament. We've been all the way through it now. And tonight, God brought me back into Samuel. We've gotten that far in the Old Testament. So we're going to spend some time in the Old Testament. But now, Sunday the 17th, we're going to begin our Christmas studies. Although I do not celebrate Christmas as most celebrate it, because we all of us that are the children of God know that Christ was not born in December. And they have made a worldly holiday out of Christmas. But we are going to honor the Christmas season differently, because we are going to honor it biblically. So I'm hoping you stay with me and get the word out so that others may come in and enjoy. Like I say, it won't be this Sunday. It'll be the following Sunday, the 17th, that we start our Christmas teaching program. All right. Now, I hope everyone is at 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, starting here in chapter 12, actually the first 4 verses really are examples of behavior that Nathanael is using to reach David. And this example is really, it's a good example, but it's dealing with things that are not good in the sight of God. So beginning here with verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathanael unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were 2 men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. 2, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Not just one flock or so, he had many. 3, poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought, had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of its own meat and drink of its own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. That's how close this lamb had grown to him and the family. 4, and there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now he was fixing for this strange man that had come to him, and he wanted to fix for him, but he wouldn't use anything of his own. He took the only lamb the poor man had. To use for himself. Nathanael's letting David know that there is some things that are really wrong. Now here in verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathanael, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathanael said to David, thou art the man. Uh-oh. Here David is passing this judgment that he's now finding out that it is against himself. Nathanael said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." You see, here, when we really look at that, how easy it is to see the sins of others, just as David was looking at this rich man that had been used as an example, without applying the scriptural standard to ourselves. David called for the full weight of the law to be applied. But you see, now he was calling for it upon himself, more or less. Now, 8. "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." 9. "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. 10. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wife in the sight of this son." You know, these judgments came to pass literally in the sins of his own household. The rebellion by his own son, Absalom, and the civil war that followed. And David was never to fully know rest again. He was not to know rest ever again as long as he lived, because of the sins he had committed against God. Now, David one time was a man that God really loved. And David walked for God at one time. And if God is passing this kind of judgment on him, what do you think he's going to do to you and I when we, for us to sin against him, means that we have got the trump to our Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that. How much more judgment and punishment do you think you and I would be worthy of? Now, 12. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. 13. And David said unto Nathanael, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathanael said unto Daniel, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Now we find there that David genuinely did grieve and repented. However, the seed of sin was immediately to bear bitter fruit, for the child born of the adultery became grievously ill and died, for he had took this other one's wife, and they had a child. Now God has took this child away from him and took this child back home. You see, that child went back to heaven. We know mankind may do things to destroy children here, but when that child is young and under the age of accountability, which usually comes around about 11 or 12 years old, that child, when God takes it, is going back to him. That child is not going to suffer the place of hell like you and I will. Now, 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to bless thee, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You see, David's sin had brought the name of God into disrepute, and such knowledge ought to serve as a deterrent to real sin on the part of believers. And you can find more of that and about that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 14. In chapter 6, 1. Now, you see, and Nathanael departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay at night upon the earth. He was really trying to repent and get right because of this child's sickness. 17. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. 18. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? They're afraid to even tell him now that this child is gone. 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. They wasn't going to lie to him. They wasn't planning on telling him, but they wasn't going to lie about it. Then David arose from the earth, washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now he has stopped his fast, and he's eat now. 21. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst raise and eat bread. You see, they're not understanding him in the way he is doing. 22. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Now he was seeking for the child. 23. But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And you know, this time for fasting was over, and God's will had been made known. It was time now for David to learn the divine lesson and get on with a proper and productive life in the light of the inevitability of his own death. Scholars have seen in David's words the added thought that David trusted God to graciously care for the soul of the dead infant, whom a believing David would join in the presence of God after his earthly life was over. You see, now he is figuring that he will be able to join that child. And yet he knows that child is in God's care. But we know he has repented and all. Now 24. David confronted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Now, 25. And he sent by the hand of Nathanael, the prophet, and he called the name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. You know, the grace of God is abundantly demonstrated in allowing Bathsheba to give birth to the Son, through whom the promise in the Davidic covenant would continue. Solomon was blessed by Nathaniel the prophet, and with the name Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Now, you see, that's what his name Jedidiah meant, beloved of the Lord. 26. And Joram fought against Raboth of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. Then Joram sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rehoboth and have taken the city of water. Now, you see, the consequences of David's sin would also surface in renewed warfare with the Amorites. David's victory here brought stability to his eastern border. But he's at war again with Ammon. Now, 28. Now therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. Now, 29. And David gathered all the people together and went into Raboth and fought against it, and he took it. Now 30. And he took their king's crown from off his head. The weight whereof was a talent of gold, precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. 31. And he brought forth the people that were therein and put them under Saul's and under arrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them pass through the brick line, and thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. You see, a comparison with 1 Chronicles 20, chapter 20, verse 3, has led to two views regarding David's judgment against the Ammonites. David repaid the traditional Ammonite cruelty, and Amos in kind, or David sentenced the Amorites to hard labor. Either view demands some harmonization between the two texts. On the whole, the second suggestion is to be preferred, perhaps by understanding the verb translated in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, as cut, to mean consigned to. We know he got awful tough against the Amorites. He took them, but he got awful tough with the people. come to the end of chapter 12. I'm not going into 13 tonight. We'll keep that, God willing, for morning. Maybe we'll find out a little more about David and see whether he really gets straightened out or not. Now, we know there has to be a time that David will get straight. But we don't know whether it's going to happen here in 2 Samuel or not even. And we still got quite a bit more going 2 Samuel. It's not a real short book. In fact, let's see. We're going to have 24 chapters. And most of them are not real short. Chapter 13 we'll be going into next actually is 39 verses long. You see, we've got a ways to go. We may not even get all the way through chapter 13 in the morning. We'll see what God has for us and how we're led by the Spirit and how he will feed us of this word. But I pray that you have got something from this study this evening. And remember what I told you, that on Sunday the 17th, we will be starting our Christmas studies. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Israel, Jerusalem. We pray for them to have peace. But more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that we have allowed those that are evil into offices in our government that has brought this evil upon our people, Father, in this land. I pray for them to be removed from office and replaced by those that are yours, to love you and love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all that are a part of this ministry and those that have been listening and has listened in on a lot of our studies. I pray that they've all gained things of the Spirit and grown stronger, Father. I pray now any powers for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy and her husband Bob, her son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, Father, for Sue Branson, for Deborah and Daryl, for my wife, myself, and for each one of us. our families, our sons and daughters, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, that the Holy Spirit will work with them and work with us as we speak with them, to help lead them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, now as we separate for this evening and tonight, I ask that you keep us all in health, keep us safe through the night, bring us back together in the morning, Father, in time for our study in your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Now, Father, we praise you. We thank you for all things. And we love you, Father, because you loved us. This is my prayer to my Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. I pray you have a great one. So take care now. And I pray I'll see you in the morning. Good night, all.